Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Bryce Diamond with the jazz voice. I don't know where you're listening from. Last week, there were some serious air quality issues in Ottawa, and I went against the recommendations of the weather network, scientists, and my wife. Not a good way to start the weekend, let me tell you, when I went for a bike ride after dinner and the air quality was a 9, and you really shouldn't be exercising when it's a 7. And I got some good smoker's lung after my bike ride. I think it was that night I was eating popcorn and it tasted in my mouth like I had had a cigar earlier in the night. So the air quality issues are real. If you don't know this, climate change is real. And the wisdom of the woman, as Wesley Snipes said to Woody Harrelson in the movie White Man Can't Jump, the only white man can't jump that I know, listen to the woman, especially when she's Rosie Perez. But in this case, when she's my wife, listen to the woman are the words that I'm remembering with a bit of a jazzy voice today, although it was really jazzy. Like, I mean, like almost Barry White at one point, jazzy on Sunday and Monday. But yeah, if you're exercising, check the air quality this summer, man. Things are not great out there with these forest fires. But I'm on the recovery, and I'm still recovering from what's happened this past week. Zai and I will get to the heart of things, to the center, to how we're doing, knowing that, as Zai says, his spiritual director has gone. So we'll get to that. And what happened in the Raptors world with our guy Fred VanVleet departing. But this pod is about free agency. It's about free agency in the league. And boy, oh boy, there were some astronomical contracts, like shocking contracts out there. Obviously, Fred VanVleet being one of the most major shocks in terms of how much money this brother got. If you recall the Philadelphia 76ers game, not this past season, but the season before, I believe, you want to talk about some kahunas. You want to talk about the bag a man got. This guy got one hell of a bag. And he was not the only one. Surprising. And you know what Biggie said. More money, more problems. And as the NBA gets more money, teams have more problems. Because guys want to get rich. This is life-changing. This is generational shifting. This is generational wealth kind of money that we saw from free agency. And wow, incredible, incredible contracts. Let's just go through a few before we kind of move on with some of the winners and losers in free agency. Jeremy Grant has a 5-year contract worth $160 million. Big time money for Jeremy Grant. Is he worth it? Well, that's a question that he's going to have to answer. I forgot that he was the same age as Fred VanVleet, to be honest. 29 years old. For some reason, I thought Jeremy Grant was more like 26. He's got a baby face. Fred VanVleet, 3 years, $128.5 million, almost $43 million, $42.8 million per season. I think it's front-loaded. On the first year, he gets $50, I heard, to help deal with the cap. And they are, of course, going to be signing younger guys to rookie extensions. So I think he gets front-loaded a bit. Fred VanVleet, 13th highest player in the 13th highest paid player in the league. Kyrie Irving got a bag, but Fred VanVleet makes more money than him. $126 million Kyrie Irving got. Cam Johnson. Remember the Phoenix Suns, Cam Johnson. He's now a Brooklyn Net, and Brooklyn's got bills to pay because Cam Johnson is getting $27 million a year. I'm not sure that money starts for him, that big contract, until next season. I think it might have been an extension, but don't quote me on that. That's big time money. Kyle Kuzma, you want to talk about a guy who was not believed in? You want to talk about a guy who is the punchline of jokes when he was in La La Land? A guy who really wasn't taken seriously, even though he had a breakout season as a 27-year-old in Washington. Kyle Kuzma, 4 years, $102 million, 25.5 a season. This dude can flat out play. I do not know if he will be in a Washington Wizards uniform at the end of the year. I do not know if he will be taken seriously even with that paycheck. Because another guy that is now on his team is Jordan Poole, who Zion and I talked about in the last episode on draft night, as we talked about Poole getting shipped to Washington. And then, of course, Chris Paul bouncing around now in Golden State. But Jordan Poole with Kyle Kuzma, you want to talk about guys who are not taken seriously, who at times look like they're more interested in the ladies in the front row than they are the scoreboard in front of them. Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole are on the same team. That's interesting. A guy who took a pay cut, and this was really fascinating to me, and a guy who I think now, as he's on the other side of 30, who is trending in the wrong direction. He's going to be turning 32 later this year. And a guy who had some injuries. He suffered from injuries the previous season, and then this season just couldn't shake some of the injuries, is Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton was supposed to make $40 million this season. He opted out of his contract for the last season to be able to sign a 3-year deal. So that was probably in his best interest. $34 million a season. Fred VanVleet getting paid more than him. I think that's right that Fred gets paid more than Chris Middleton personally. Another guy on the other side of 30 who got paid because he's got rings. He's trying to fill his whole hand. Draymond Green, ladies and gentlemen, a 4-year deal. Bye-bye Jordan Poole, but the party still exists. Draymond Green knows how to have one, and he's got 25 mil. And Jordan, you may have a bigger contract per season, but Draymond Green probably makes it up with his podcast alone. Draymond Green with a big contract. It's been fun. You know, it's been fun always. Always it's fun when the NBA is in its off season. It's a little nervy when your team is involved. And Zion and I will talk about that next week. But, you know, there are winners and losers in this thing. But I will say the offseason is a lot of fun. You see pictures of guys on vacation after the season. You see guys in their hometown a little more relaxed. We've seen pictures of Scottie Barnes already hanging out at OVO with Jeff Doughton, with Gary Trent Jr. There's obviously new coaching signings. And someone told me, or someone asked me at work who knows that I have a podcast with Zaya and Courtney. Well, you must be kind of on vacation now, Bryce. The NBA season is over. You can relax a little bit. And I said, no. The NBA season is never over. NBA life is never over because you have the draft, you have free agency, you have signings, trades, you have, you know, what is going on in the summer with charity events like Jeremy Lin and Simu have. You've got the CEBL happening, and you know that players like Jalen Harris, who used to play in the NBA, are trying to get contracts, and you know that concerts are going on and parties are being thrown, like the one I believe in the Hamptons, an all-white party. Guys weren't all white. Joel Embiid was at that. James Harden, Tobias Harris, Grant Williams. Talk about a free agent signing, leaving Boston, going to Dallas. But he was at that party along with Tom Brady and some others. I thought Frank Lampard was there, but apparently it was just some other guy. The Kardashians were in the house. Of course, that means Mr. Booker was there as well. But it looked like something serious. And the Hamptons apparently always bring a little glitz and glamour. But when you got NBA guys there, you got hip-hop stars, you got other big names in the sports world. Mbappe was there, who's definitely been hanging around the U.S. watching games. He was at some playoff games. And now with Messi playing for Inter Miami and so many tours happening this month and have been for the last 10 years with Premier League teams and various European soccer clubs, there's a lot of soccer players hanging out in the States, and Mbappe has started early. David Beckham has paved a way along with Pele way before him, but it is fun to see these guys, you know, at mixers with mixed drinks, just having a good time, dancing to mixtapes. Yes, the NBA season is over, but the NBA business never ends, and NBA life is always in the limelight. So no, it never ends for us on the pod. We had about 9 or 10 days off in between our last pod and this one, and probably we'll have about a week between this one and the next one. But so much goes on, and free agency is just one of those things, and we're talking about that right now. Let's talk about some of the winners and losers, and we'll start with individuals who won and lost in this free agency. And free agency is a bit of a crapshoot. Obviously, there's all kinds of cryptic messaging and positioning and posturing, kind of like an NBA game, really. But, you know, Rich Paul and company were big winners as his agency, Clutch Sports, had a lot of guys get signed after the coaches were signed, like Nick Nurse, who's part of Clutch. Other guys of his got signed. Fred being a part of Clutch as well. So who were the big winners? Well, Fred VanVleet, as we mentioned, was a huge winner. I think it's safe to say that Jeremy Grant was a big winner. But a guy who was sneaky in being a big-time winner, and I like the team he's on, not the city he's going to, but a guy who won big in this free agency season was Bruce Brown. And Bruce Brown showed about 6 things that he can do that we didn't know or we forgot he could do. Unless you've been following this guy from college days, he was not doing in Brooklyn, and he did do in Denver. And at the highest level, winning the frickin' chip. And he had some monster games, monster shots. That game 4 in Miami with Jokic on the bench, Bruce Brown helped lead that team because Miami's defense could zero in on Jamal Murray with Jokic on the bench. And Bruce Brown made big shots, big plays. He signed big, I believe, a 4-year deal, sorry, a 2-year deal worth $45 million, $22.5 million per season. Well done to all three of those individual winners of this free agency. Fred VanVleet, Bruce Brown, Jeremy Grant. Well done, guys. You bet on yourselves, and you won big time. Again, not sure about the city of Indiana. Don't know how Jeremy Grant feels about Portland, especially from, you know, kind of January to April. Goodness gracious. Well done, guys, to those. The losers in this free agency, and some of this involves some trades, people, teams trying to make some cap space, people trying to create better timelines that work with their roster. Monte Morris, I felt, lost in free agency. He got shipped out of Washington and went to Detroit. And I don't think it will be his last place. I actually think Monte Morris will not finish in Detroit. And it might not happen until the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But that team's so young that I think that they're going to be looking for suitors come February at the latest. And it might even be before then. We talked about Monte Morris on the pod. I was a big proponent of him coming to Toronto along with Jakob Poeltl at the trade deadline. That did not happen. And of course it cost them, I think probably 5 games and probably cost them. One of those games was the play-in. Otherwise we might be talking about the Raptors in a similar way as we talked about the Heat. Maybe not, you know, completely probably lose to Boston, but I think we would have been, you know, right there, to knock off the Bucks. They were prime to be shot down. It was definitely hunting season in April and early May against the Bucks with Giannis wounded. But Monte Morris was a loser in this free agency. Jeremy Grant, I think, was a loser. Now, I just said he was a winner because he was. Financially speaking, Jeremy Grant was a winner. Why was he a loser then? He was a loser because Damian Lillard said, I'm out of here. Damian Lillard hit the button. Hit the button indeed. He wants out. He's had a trade request, and he is going to find himself somewhere else. And that impacts Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's 29 years old, and he's got all these young kids around him. I think Nurkic will be gone. I don't even know if Jeremy Grant will still be in Portland. He'd be a great pickup, I think, on some playoff team. And, you know, and I can think about a number of teams who could be really interesting, who could get quite a bump. And if, you know, for some reason, Portland was not going to send Dame to Miami, I actually think Jeremy Grant wouldn't be a bad pick to send to Miami. Put Jeremy Grant alongside Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. With Jeremy Grant in his prime, he's a bigger body who can shoot the ball. He's got the shooting skills of Kevin Love, but, you know, the athleticism of Gabe Vincent. So I think that could be a really interesting deal. Obviously, Portland will want an expiring contract. Well, that's Kyle Lowry. But I think that's more likely to happen than Damian Lillard going to Miami, because I don't know if Miami's interested in Tyler Hero. And I don't know if Miami wants to get rid of Tyler Hero. So anyways, Jeremy Grant was a big loser in Portland because Dame was leaving. That's why I say that. And the other loser in this, I think to some degree, is Steph. And the reason why I say that is because I think there was a lot of imagination lost on this team in the last little while. And, you know, Chris Paul's a great player, but he's in the twilight. I mean, you could see it in the 2022 playoffs when they just got erased by Luka Doncic and company. But you've been seeing it since Chris Paul's Houston days. You know, he gets injured, right? He can't play a back-to-back seven game series. He just can't. And it to go that distance in a playoff series is just really tough. And when you get past 35, it becomes harder and harder. And I know that Chris Paul could play the way that Kyle Lowry played this past season, coming off the bench, even in the playoffs, maybe closing games. Kyle Lowry closed a number of games in the playoffs. But I just think Golden State's become stagnant. They become risk averse because it's easy to do that when you've won a lot. And you know, your stars are 35, 34, 33. You become a lot more conservative. And I think just Steph lost. And another reason why Steph lost in free agency is not just because young guy like Jordan Poole is gone, but really didn't get along with the team. But, you know, a guy like Dante DiVincenzo is gone. And if you remember last year, Gary Payton II was gone. Otto Porter Jr. signed with the Raptors. And I think just Steph has lost a lot of guys in this free agency. And that's going to impact him and not his legacy, but certainly the end of his career. And I think Steph wanted to finish strong and certainly didn't this past playoff season. And I'm not sure about next season. We'll see. Who knows, right? Like, there's possibilities. You know, if Portland did want to get rid of Jeremy Grant, a guy like Chris Paul, you know, you burn his contract at the end, give Jeremy Grant a real run, and then Jeremy Grant's off your books. That could be a spot, right? It's possible. But right now, really no big free agent signings. They all went to LA or Phoenix, which gets us to our teams. Who are the team winners and losers? And I think I mentioned them, two winners right away. The Los Angeles Lakers and Phoenix Suns, in my opinion, were the big winners. The Lakers retained all the guys that they were hoping to re-sign, which, fantastic for them. There was talk of maybe D'Angelo Russell signing with the Raptors. His girlfriend is from Oakville. He was spotted at a pickup game at the University of Toronto. But you also had Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura who re-signed. And those are all great players who could create maybe the best bench in the NBA. Or again, they're complementary pieces to LeBron and AD. And man, they did wonderful just to re-sign those guys. But then they added guys. They added Torian Prince, who found his way, you know, on the outside. He was told by Woj that Minnesota was not going to extend his contract. They had the team option. They did not extend it. So Torian Prince is on that team. That's a nice small forward pickup for this group who can come off the bench as the understudy to Rui Hachimura. So that's nice. Cam Reddish is a nice wing defender who's working on his shooting. Cam Reddish would be a great backup to Austin Reeves. And then, depending who you wanted to start, a great possible starting point guard, or a backup point guard who can play both ways, play for the Miami Heat, went to the finals, Gabe Vincent. Of course, he got injured in the conference finals against Boston, didn't play well at all. Missed a couple games in the finals, but Gabe Vincent's a great pickup. And then finally, Jackson Hayes from the Pelicans, who's just athletic. He's long. He can really protect the rim. And then he can take it to the hole. He cleans off the glass on the offensive end. That's a really solid, solid group. I could see Prince, Reddish, Vincent coming off the bench with Hayes and maybe Gabriel as a possible five. Talk about athleticism, talk about hunger. That team, the Lakers, looks really good. And who knows what LeBron's season will look like. Will he play 60 games? No, probably will play 50. But I think the Los Angeles Lakers got a lot better. Certainly sustained what, you know, we're able to retain what they had and then build on it. And if AD's healthy and LeBron's able to be in chill mode, and these guys grow in their game, especially Vincent, Reeves, Prince and Reddish on both ends of the floor. The Los Angeles Lakers, I think, are a top four team. And they'll be dangerous because you got the mastermind in LeBron, and then you've got a top 10 talent who could get back to that bubble playoff run in Anthony Davis. And a huge winner of this free agency as a team definitely was Los Angeles Lakers. The Phoenix Suns, I think, did well. Remember, they got Bradley Beal just before the draft. Humongous. Now, people will talk about this team now being limited in what they can do and from a contract perspective. But you're talking about a group of four guys from the center spot through the wings and, you know, length, size, athleticism are as good as any four guys in the league. Forget about the West. I'm talking about the league. I think Phoenix has got to be considered in the top four. I actually think when you evaluate the playoffs, did anyone play Denver as well as Phoenix? Certainly they gave Phoenix, Denver a bit of a scare when it was 2-2, and then guys started getting injured. Chris Paul again, as we mentioned, his injury issues over the last few years. And then DeAndre Ayton got injured. And I think the momentum was already swinging. I think it was going to be tough for Chris Paul, even if he was healthy, to keep up on tired old legs with the young guns of the Denver Nuggets. But now Phoenix has got Bradley Beal instead of Chris Paul. Are you freaking kidding me? And they've got some other guys, right? They picked up some other free agents. And I think it's important to talk about them. This is a team who got Kata Bates-Diop from San Antonio. I think that's a really nice pickup for them. They got Yuta Watanabe, who loved playing with Kevin Durant, who's a sharpshooter from the corners, very efficient guy. He can play both ways. He'll get dunked on three or four times, like we saw him get dunked on with the Raps. But he's going to work hard. He's going to know his assignment. He's going to implement, take knowledge and apply it because he's a great student of the game and he's a great team player with no ego. So Yuta Watanabe is a nice pickup to help them bolster their bench. And then they got veteran Eric Gordon as well in free agency. And I think Diop, Yuta Watanabe, Eric Gordon, and then you add a guy like Ish Wainwright, who just works hard and is strong as an ox. And I really think that they've done well. Now, is Drew Eubanks or Chimezie Metu, great players? No. But with the group that they've got, that four guys that they got plus campaign, I think they've got now nine guys who can get out there and play at a high level. And the Phoenix Suns, they were a top four team last year. I think they're better. And they're going to have more time together. They're going to have, of course, the summer to spend time. They're going to have training camp. And then they'll have a more defensive-minded coach in Frank Vogel. And who knows why they fired Monty Williams. I actually think that was a bad idea. But there will be maybe a more simple offensive outlook, but they will have better defensive schemes under Frank Vogel's leadership. And I think that's quite important for this team. They do have Bismack Biyombo and Josh Okogie. So they've got, again, two good units with that star-studded number one starting lineup in the league. I think that's pretty obvious. Now, Boston will be in the mix. We know Denver will be in the mix. But after that, Phoenix is right at the top. They really are. I think they're better than the Bucks right now. And you know, I don't want to make too many predictions because who knows what happens with injuries? Who knows how, you know, Kevin Durant and company are going to gel with Frank Vogel? That's so hard to say at this point. But I think with just the guys they have on their roster, they certainly were seen as a top five, top six team, but they didn't have enough time. Let's say they were number six with Bradley Beal and Eric Gordon, Yuta Watanabe, and time with Durant now and Booker for the whole season. I think this is a top four team in the NBA. So they have done well. Who knows what happens in 5 years with this team? But forget about that. Forget about that for now. Who else won in free agency? I think Canada won in free agency. Delano Banton, will miss him, Rexdale's own. He is now a Boston Celtic, which stings because, hell, that's our rival. But there, you know, he is going to get minutes. He's going to work hard. He's going to learn some new things. I think he's got some great guys to learn around him. Gets out of a city. That's always helpful. He had the spotlight on him a lot more than most second round picks because he was a hometown guy. O'Shea Brissett, another Toronto guy who played for the Raptors, then played for Indiana, played quite well coming off the bench as a power forward. He is in Boston. He will get minutes. He will work hard. It'd be great to see Delano and O'Shea Brissett play together. One of O'Shea's former teammates in Indiana, who was only spent about 2 or 3 years in Canada, was Chris Durate. He went to the Kings. Very nice little trade around free agency here. And he was with the Kings. He'll get some playoff games next year, and that's great. He'll be a nice part of that second unit, and that should be a lot of fun for him. Big win for another Canadian there. Dylan Brooks, haven't talked about him yet. $20 million a season. He just got tossed, like literally booted out the door by Felicia type stuff in Memphis, which I thought did not look good on them, was not classy at all. He gets the boot, and he goes and gets $20 million a year, $80 million over four. Dylan Brooks is getting paid. He was part of that Canadian winning, that Maple money. Another big win for Canada in this free agency, and it has nothing to do with a player, but there was a vacancy in the Canadian coaching situation, and which I found fascinating, and Zion and I will probably expand upon this, but Nick Nurse said he would not leave the Canadian coaching position, and he goes to Philly and really turns his back on the program. And who knows if that was mutual, and who knows what the vibes were, but regardless, Jordy Fernandez, Zaya Quinn's first pick for the Raptors, to be their next head coach. He is now the coach of Canadian basketball. Now, here's the funny thing about this story. Nick Nurse makes this huge emphasis on, you know, guys making this three-year commitment like Redeem Team back in 2005. And then he commits to what? A year and a half of that? 3 or 4 years? And then he's out the door, and now, you know, some other coach has to come in with that kind of sour taste. Although maybe some of those Canadian guys didn't really like Nick Nurse. I have no idea. But Jordy Fernandez is a hell of a coach. He's a great mind. He's with the Sacramento Kings. And I think the players will do very well under him. I think Shea and Jamal obviously will shine with him, but I think some of the second unit guys will do really well. I think a guy like Lou Dort or maybe even Dylan Brooks will thrive under him. I think veterans with ball movement interests and a variety of skills, maybe a veteran like Kelly Olynyk will do well under Jordy Fernandez. He coached with the Spanish team. So that's a massive, massive pickup. And so that was my third win for a team, Team Canada, and just Canadian basketball in general. The losers, well, we talked about Damian Lillard requesting a trade. I think Portland lost. The Warriors talked about Steph. I think they lost. But you know, another team that really didn't get anybody, really nobody in free agency. They talk about a team who's just like resting on what they have after they've really like fizzled out, like just flamed out, and guys making big money and just flamed out and have not even got to the conference finals. They now have a new coach, but have done nothing in free agency. The Philadelphia 76ers were losers. They didn't lose like some of these teams. They were losers. Like they actively, you know, said, we will lose in free agency. I don't really get it. I'm sure Philadelphia 76ers fans are like, what the hell? And it's possible that James Harden will go to Portland because that seems in the 1 year that it would make sense. He's kind of like Dame in the way he plays offense. He's kind of like Dame in the way he plays defense. I'm not sure he'll like the city of Portland, but maybe he would. He's kind of just like out on his own. He can go to Vegas a lot easier, which apparently he loves to do. And, you know, he might go bananas like he did in like 2017 or something, or 2019 with Houston. And then he's got guys like Jeremy Grant. He's got these young guys who can fly, who can run, who can shoot. Maybe that's a good position. But right now, the Philadelphia 76ers are just losers, and actively so. And, you know, I don't know anything personally about Nick Nurse. I wish him all the best in Philly. But he was their only free agent signing of note. Hell, we even got Jaden McDaniels from then. So yeah, weird. So there's my winners and losers of free agency. Again, the drama is always high. The excitement, the unpredictability of the NBA and NBA free agency was there. I don't know if you guys are still twitching from Woj bombs and Shams alerts, but we're still going, right? We're still in this. Now you can do sign and trades. You can extend some deals with people. Now it's still going, and it still will for probably the next 2 or 3 weeks before there's a bit of breathing room as we see Summer League take center stage in Vegas after a few nights, I believe in Utah. But yeah, the NBA just doesn't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. And yeah, the more money, the more problems. Certainly the NBA team, the NBA teams and owners have got all kinds of problems, and lots of guys are going to have the same kind of haircuts as Steve Ballmer with all the headaches and hair pulls that these players will put owners through. And you know what? Good on them. Well done. Get that bag, get paid, make your generational wealth. Exciting stuff, a lot of headlines, but a lot of headaches for the owners too. And I love it. All right, y'all. Hope you're doing well. Be good, be healthy, stay cool when you can, and enjoy this week of summer. Peace. I don't do dreaming or money or function. I do arts. So give my arts. That's it.